Sunday school classes are going to be with us today. The rest of us are all privileged to invite Andrea to come and share the word with us this morning. So let's welcome her as she comes.
Morning, church. How are we all? Oh, sorry, good afternoon, church. Yeah? Now, I don't know why they give me so much time, because everyone knows I only preach a 20-minute message, so you'll be out here soon, won't you? And because it's bank holiday weekend, I know you all want to get out there. Some of you want to go to the carnival, I don't know. But I know you want to get out there. And thank you, Louise. So basically, we're at this time now when in the church, I mean, you can look around and you see it's quite empty, isn't it? People, this is holiday season. Some have already gone. Some have, they've got this long, welcome back, Diane.
Thank you.
Some have kind of probably used this last week to kind of like go. And there's a lot of going and to and fro in. But I'm grateful that we're here and that we, and that the Lord has given me a word. Now, I'm going to do something a bit different. Usually I know that I've got props and things like that. And my lovely friend Bumi is always talking about she loves my props and things like that. And I thought I really wanted to use Bumi in my next exercise. And she's been trying to tease me out. She's been trying to find out when I'm going to I have not said a word. And when I walked in this morning and I saw Bumi, I said, thank you, Lord. She is here. So, Bumi, I'm going to ask you to come forward, please. Bumi, I can tell you, it's easy. All you have to do is stand still. It's so easy. It's very easy, Bumi. So, basically, instead of telling you all what the name of my message is, I want to demonstrate what the message is called, and then I want you to see if you can tell me what you think the message is going to be called. Yeah? So basically, I'm going to call various people, a bit like, what's that program they say, come on down, when I call your name, you come running. Well, you don't have to come running like that. You can just walk. But basically, I want different individuals to come, and Bumi's going to be in the middle here. And when you come, I want you just to lock arms with each other. You can do it loosely. You don't have to do it tightly. So, and then I want to see if you'll know what my title is. So the first person I want to call is Bobby. Yes.
Come on down.
Come on down, Bobby. So I just want you to link arms with, yeah? The next person I'd like to call is Liz to come and link arms with Bobby. So, Bumi, you're going to have to keep moving down a bit. The next person I'd like to call is Amber. The next person I'd like to call is the bishop. As we were worshiping, I was scanning through the audience to see who will make up what I... So you need to come and link arms with Amber. Keep moving for me. Okay. The next person I'd like to call is Bonnie. I hope you're thinking about what you think the message is. I hope you are getting there. The next person I'd like to call is, where is he? I saw Joel Lawson. The next person I'd like to call is Brian. Brian. Not coming. Okay. Okay, that's okay. Can I call Sweetie? Keep moving along. Okay, can I call Janet, please? other end. And lastly, I think I call Advaira. Advaira. Just move down a bit more, Bumi. Look at these lovely array of people. Now tell me, what do you think my message is called? Any more? You're all on the right track. My message today is called One in Christ. And as you look and you see here today, this is one in Christ. This is what a healthy church looks like. A healthy church is made up of older individuals, younger individuals. You see different cultures here. There's Caribbean in this lineup. There's African in this lineup. There's Asian in this lineup. There are single women, single parents. There are different colors. They're young people. This is what a healthy church. If we're having a church should look like this. It shouldn't just be a whole load of older individuals. And it shouldn't just be, oh, it's all for the young and it's the young people. No, a church should be, it should represent and look like this. And when you look around at all the flags, these are all the cultures of individuals who have come through these doors at one point or another, or are here right now. So if you look around and you don't see your flag, please let me know, because Pastor Rick is very into, he wants your flag to be up there. Yeah? So let's give these people a hand. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Bumi, are you pleased with me?
Yes.
It wasn't that hard, was it? I know you had to stand up here the longest, but it wasn't that. So basically, as I said, each and every one of these individuals within a local church, they've all got something to bring. There's a richness. And you know, when we saw these different cultures up here, you may never ever get to go to Sri Lanka. Is that where you're from, Bobby? Yeah, you may never get to go to Sri Lanka, but you get to meet someone who's from that country, and you can, you know, you can talk with him, you can engage with him. You may never get to go to Ireland, but you can talk to Annette or Diane or Brian. These are all individuals. You may never get to go to Barbados. You can talk to me or Janet or Shirley, and the different cultures. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be one in Christ. He wants us to be inclusive and not having outside isolated people. So the first scripture I'd like us to look at is Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. Is this me? No. And this is Paul addressing the church in Ephesus. And he's got something really important that he wants to share with them. And it says, therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at times you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the word. So therefore, you know, the Gentiles, before Christ brought us together, we didn't have a chance, we didn't have a hope. We didn't have the privileges of like what Israel had. But God wanted to do something about that, and he wanted to remedy that. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And when you saw that lineup today, only the blood of Christ could do that. Yeah. Only the blood of Christ could bring so many cultures like that in one and in unity without arguing about, I'm from this country, I'm from that country, and all of that. Only Christ can do that. It says, for he himself is our peace, and God wants to bring peace within us, within our church. It says he is our peace. He has made the two groups one, and he's destroyed the barrier. Isn't that good that in this church the barriers are destroyed?
Amen.
And we can come together in unity and we can come together in one? It says the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law and its commands and regulations. And it says it was his purpose to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. And God wants to put to death any hostility that may be amongst us that would cause us not to be unified. I mean, there are so many different colours in this place, isn't there? And it's just so wonderful to see. It says, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And together we as one, oneness in Christ, we have access because of what God has done to us. And you know, sometimes our various cultures can cause us to be exclusive. Sometimes you can be in a church and you can hear people kind of gathered in one corner speaking their mother tongue. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that because there's no law that says you always have to be speaking English. But sometimes when we're within a church setting, how do we include individuals? How do we make sure that when people come through those doors, they're not only engaged by the word, but they're met by the love of the people and they're met by who we are and how we embrace them? And I'm going to do a quick exercise. So look around your surroundings. Now, I know, because I mean, I'm going to put my hand up and I can do it. I know that some of us come in every week and sit in the same seat. Am I right? Yes. And sometimes if a person wasn't in the seat, you'd think that they weren't in church. Yeah. They just sat somewhere else. But sometimes we can just be around us. So if we sit in the same seat all the time, can I assume that you know each other? Can I assume you know each other? Can then I assume that you actually know their names? Do you know their names? Yes. You do. Should I do a little test? No. But sometimes we can come in the midst of, we can be in a church and maybe the person on this side would never venture over there to go and say hello. Or, you know, and when the MC says, oh, let everybody greet each other, do we kind of like really cross from one side to the other? I think some of us do, you know. But at the end of the service, you're going to get the opportunity to mingle. We've bought some cakes, we bought some drinks, and we want you to just say hello to someone that you've never said hello to. Find out a bit more about them. You know, now that we know that there's various cultures in here, ask them, you know, where are you from? How long have you been in this country? And just some, you know, it's just something to engage. It's something to get us together because we're one in Christ, aren't we? And we should be like that. And I know that Mr. Toppin isn't here, but does anybody know the man that sits right at the back of church, the tall one? Well, when we had the dinners, the over 55s dinner, I sat on the same table with him, and that man is a very interesting individual. It was just so nice to just sit down and listen to his life and the type of job he was doing. And I thought, we don't normally get that, do we? I would have never known that he worked for the post office and then he worked for Iceland. And you know, the different things that he was telling me about himself. And I thought, that's really great when we can just sit down and we can just know about each other and we can share. And Paul talks about a mystery in Christ. In terms of how do all these cultures come together, it's a mystery. It's a mystery to the outside world, isn't it? Because they're thinking, oh, bunch of people. Oh, are you from, you're not from the same country? And, you know, they wonder. But Paul talks about a mystery. So let's look at Ephesians 3, verse 2 to 6. It says, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel and the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and share us together in the promised in Christ Jesus. Michael, is this me? Okay. So we can see that God is the one that brings us together. It's a mystery how he does it, but it's through his blood. Mankind has been trying to bring together individuals in one for so long, and they've not succeeded. We've had things like World War I, we've had World War II, we've had the Crimean War, we've had the Falklands War, and the list goes on because people are trying to come together in unity, but there is no oneness. If you're not in Christ, you do not have that oneness. But the mystery is that only the Spirit of God can bring unity and harmony, and that oneness among the body of people, and we know it today, is the body of people. We know that is the church. Sometimes we get to experience a oneness in Christ outside of New Life. Sometimes we get to go to a bigger scale. Sometimes we get to go to events on a bigger scale. And places like Spring Harvest. Anybody been to Spring Harvest? Yeah? And David's Tent. I think some of the guys are at David's Tent this weekend. Some of them have gone. The big church day out. And numerous conferences. And we've got things like Woman to Woman. And premieres Woman to Woman. And when you go to these places, you're engaging with people who you wouldn't necessarily ordinarily worship with. But they are your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we come together, I don't come under the umbrella of, I'm coming from New Life. But no, I'm coming from the umbrella of, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a child of God. And if you're a child of God, then we can connect. You know, it doesn't matter where we're from. It doesn't matter that one is from the Baptist or one is from the Pentecostal or whatever. When we come together like this, that's what God does. And at these events, when we gather with a whole host of individuals from varying backgrounds, we may be different in style. Yeah, but the Lord says that the world will take note of us because of our unity, because of who we are, because of our love for one another. And John 13, 34 to 35 says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. That's what we need to do, folks. We need to love one another. God says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. So folks, it's about genuinely having a love for each other. And it's a commandment from the Lord. He's commanded us to do this. And you may say to me, how do I know? Well, it's in my Bible and it's in red. And if it's in red, Jesus said it. So we are meant to do it, yeah? As I demonstrated earlier, a healthy church is what you saw it was made up of. And I'd like to talk about our seniors. Because in a church like this, we need our seniors, don't we? Why do we need them? Because we need the wisdom that they come with. We need the wisdom that they can bring. They've been down roads that we may not have been down. And we need to engage with them. And we need to, you know, just come together. I love to see the relationships between grandparents and their grandchildren. It's such a wonderful bond. And you never hear a grandchild saying, oh, I don't want to be with granny because she's too old, or I don't want to be with granddad because they're old. No, they love being in the presence of their grandchildren and their grandparents. And why is that? Because you guys break all the rules, don't you? You give them the chocolate that they're not supposed to have. You give them the fizzy drink so that when they get back to their parents, they're flying from the ceiling up and down. And why do you do that? Because it's payback time, isn't it? You're getting your own back. But, you know, the children, they just love to be with their grandparents. And there's wisdom that the grandparents will download to the children. And so, therefore, in a church like this, we need you, seniors. We need you. We will not dismiss you because we need you. What about our youth? We need a church that's got youth in it, don't we? What can the youth bring? Anybody here got a mobile phone? Anybody got a mobile phone? When they have all the latest apps and the this and the that, who is it that you ask to come and show you how to do it? It's the youth, isn't it? Because there is something about them, their minds can grasp things so quick. And you know, and also in a church like this, they come with fresh ideas. You know, they just show you how to do things a bit differently. And so we need to tap into what they bring. And you know, they're not only about the mobile phones. There's so much more that they have. Last night I was at a family. We were saying farewell to one of my cousins. He's 24 years old, and he just got his dream job to go to Dubai. Now, he's 2 years ago, he was in university, and when he finished his university course, even before he finished, he was being headhunted. Companies were just flying. He's a graphics designer, and companies were just flying to want to employ him. And he accepted the role with Barclays International. He worked with them for 2 years, and now, 2 years up, and he's been headhunted by Emirates. And Emirates wanted him. Now, he's a young, 24-year-old, humble guy, grew up in Willesden, now lives in Wembley. Why would a company as global as the Emirates want a 24-year-old? Why would they want them? Why would they go out of their way to headhunt someone like that? Because Emirates are not silly. If they want to stay up there, and if they want to continue to be the best, what do they have to do? They have to employ the best, don't they? They have to employ young minds. They need, and it's no respect for some of the individuals who are already in their company, but they need that young, that they need those young ideas. They need that freshness. And so, you know, he's heading off to Dubai in a couple of weeks' time, and we're really, really proud of him because, you know, he's such a humble guy, but that's where his talent has brought him. And so in this church, we don't want to lose our young people. We want to use them. We want to see them at the forefront of everything that we do. And also, we have the genders within this church. We have the men. We have the women. And also, we don't just... A church just having a whole load of men and no women and vice versa... You want a healthy mix, don't you? You really want a healthy mix of so that when you have the men's ministry, the men can actually minister to the men, and when we have the women's ministries and so forth. So we also want to have that as a healthy balance, that oneness in Christ. And so oneness in Christ also affords us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what God allows us to do. He allows us to go out there and spread the gospel, whereby God can use us as his royal ambassadors to tell our fellow men about the gospel of good news. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Are we okay? Yeah. We're doing all right? Good. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So today God has given us the job of being his ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. That's what we were going to say to others. We're imploring you on God's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And as the church, he's given us that opportunity to go and to spread the world. But we live in a world where there's so much different animosity, politics, ideology, perspectives in life is driving division among people. And the world seems to be in a state of turmoil. In the United States, they've got a president, haven't they? I'm not going to mention his name, but he's a bit like Marmite. You either like him or you don't. And there is no middle ground, it seems, with the Americans. And also in the UK, we also have got our confusions. For the last three years, you've never heard the news without the word Brexit, yeah? And none of the parties seem to want to come together to work together for the good of the country. It's all about their own policies. And so there's no oneness with them. But you can't expect it because they don't have Christ. They don't know how to be one without Christ. And so that's our job. We've got to go out there in your workplaces, in your family, amongst your family members, whatever. We've got to show them that, you know, that there is a unity in God. But thankfully, as a church, we don't have to follow those examples. We don't have to follow the examples of this division. We come together, as I said, and we come together as one. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, 10 to 17. And it's the Message translation. I have a serious concern, Paul says, to bring up with you, my friends. Using the authority of Jesus, our master, I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. I bring this up because some from Chloe's family brought a most disturbing report to my attention. It's like it was really turning them off, isn't it? That you're fighting amongst yourselves. I'll tell you exactly what I was told. You're all picking sides, going around saying, I'm on Paul's side. I'm for Apollos. Some of you are saying, Peter's my man. And some of you are saying, I'm in the Messiah group. And there's this division amongst all of you. I asked you, Paul says, has the Messiah been chopped up in little pieces so that we can have a relic of all of our own and put it in our pockets? Was Paul crucified for you? Was a single one of you baptized in Paul's name? I was not involved with any of your baptisms except for Crispus and Gaius. And on getting this report, I'm glad I wasn't. At least no one can go around saying he was baptized in my name. Come to think of it, I also baptized Stephanus' family. But as far as I can recall, that's it. God didn't send me to collect a following for myself, but to preach the message of what he has done. And that's what he wants us to do as well. Collecting a following for him. And he didn't send me to do it with a lot of fancy rhetoric of my own, lest the powerful action at the center, Christ on the cross, be trivialized into mere words. You know, it's the enemy's plan to divide us, to bring these little things that will come, that we can say, well, let's fight amongst our cultures. It's the enemy that will come and bring that. And in verse 4, we could almost read it in our day like this. Some will say, I belong to Hillsong. I belong to Bethel. Well, I belong to Elevation Church. And so we just reel off the list of these competition, and then we start to have this rivalry. Oh, I've got the bigger church, and we've got all the young people, and we've got the best worship. And you know, there's just this, and the enemy is laughing, because instead of us trying to win the loss, we're fighting about who's got the biggest church and on what platform they're on. But no, God wants us to come together. And when we come together, as we said, when we come together in love, the world will know who we are. When we go to Wembley and we're in the football stadiums and we're praising God, they're going to know who we are because they're going to think, Wembley Stadium, praising God? That's usually to do with football. Praising football. But when we come together like that, we come and we praise God. And that's what he wants. It's not about big church this, big church that. But it's about us coming together as a universal church, coming together as one. I just want to share a story. Last month I went to my godson's confirmation. Yeah. And I already went, as I was going, it was up in Wimbledon, I already went with my preconceived ideas. It's Catholic, it's going to be boring, it's going to be long. So I went with this mindset. And when I got there, the service was starting at 10:30. I couldn't even find a car park. I couldn't even find a space to park. It was that packed. When I got into the church, if my friends did not save me a seat at the front, I would have never got into that church. And this was 10:30 in the morning, and it was a massive Catholic church. Anyway, you know, I sat down, and, you know, obviously Catholicism is not the same to our type of, you know, our type of environment. So it's very different. So you've kind of got to, you know, when you're in Rome, you got to do as the Romans. You've got to kind of do what they say. Well, not do. You kind of follow the style. And so the priest is saying his various prayers. And at the end, what does he say? Lord, hear our prayer. And what do we all say? Lord, graciously hear us. So you have to learn the style. So I thought, oh, this is easy. It's only one line to learn. So as he was saying all these different prayers, and as he was saying the prayers, and as he was talking from the word, my gosh, I started to feel the anointing because of the word. It didn't matter about the style, but when he spoke from the word, I started to feel the anointing. And then they sang a few songs, but then they sang Shine, Jesus, Shine. And what did Andrea want to do? Yeah. She wanted to. I really wanted to go there. And but I thought, you know what? Let me just keep myself confined. I'm in the Catholic Church and hands be at the side. They're not all over the place. But then a very naughty thought came into my mind. I said, Lord, when I'm singing this song, what if I uncontrollably said, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! What if I did that? I said, my gosh, everybody would be looking at me and all for the wrong reasons. But, you know, sometimes we can be in different environments and it may not be the same as us, but it may not be the same of what we're in. But it doesn't mean that we won't feel the anointing. And I went there thinking it's going to be boring. But no, when you speak the word, what does the Bible say about the word? It's alive. It's active. And it doesn't matter the environment you're in. When we speak the word, that the word is powerful. And I thought, you know, when I left there thinking, you know, there was a lot of them in that building. And I don't know if everybody was a Christian because there was 40 young people that were being confirmed. And I was proud of that because there was 40 young people saying, yes, we want to go the way of the Lord. They were making that commitment and they were about the ages of 13, 14 and all like that. And they were making that commitment. And I thought, you know what? These are my brothers and sisters. It may not be the same style as what I'm used to, but I really did feel the anointing, and I did walk away there feeling really, really blessed by what God had done. And we also can foster oneness in Christ by the way we support each other in the church. 1 Timothy 5, 1-2 says, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father." Lord wants us to show respect to our individuals who are in the church. Don't bark at an older man. You know, you have to have respect. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolutely purity. Now, I'm an auntie. I've only got two blood nieces. But in this church, there is a lot of respect with the young people. There's a lot of auntie calling, isn't there? Yes. They do refer to you as aunties because they have been taught to respect those amongst them. And I do really appreciate that when you see that amongst the young people. That's really lovely. We foster that oneness amongst us because we want to be respectful to one another. We don't want to treat each other harshly. We don't want to bark at people. We just want to speak to people nicely. Proverbs 15, verse 1 in the Message, it says, "A gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. So basically, if you have a disagreement with someone in the church, the best thing to do would just go and really just speak to them nicely. And if, You know, they should receive you. They should receive it. But if you go in all guns blazing, I heard you say this, blah, you know, then they're going to just respond with the same fire that you've just thrown on. So it says a gentle response. It just diffuses anger. It really does. You know, sometimes in your workplaces, you know that when someone's coming at you and they're going to say something and you just say, chill, it's okay. And they think, oh, okay. And then they then kind of chill themselves. Proverbs 15 verse 4 says, kind words heal and they help. But cutting words, what do? They wound and they maim. Cutting words. We don't need that amongst us, brethren. We need to take the time to see how our words will affect each other. And if we know that that word is going to say, is going to cut a person, what should we do with those words? Just don't say them. Yeah? Just don't say them. Keep them to yourself. Because words can cause damage. And we don't want that. We remember we're one in Christ and we want to maintain that unity. We want to maintain that connection. Titus 2, verse 1 to 8. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. So ladies, leave the Prosecco, you know. You know who you are, not really. It says, not given to much wine, but to teach what is good, that they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children. That's why we need the mixes. Because we have young people who are growing up and they're going to get married. And they need individuals to show them and to tell them and help them along the way. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Amen. Again, this scripture is encouraging and fostering a culture whereby we can come together in unity, whereby we can develop that state of being in one. Has anybody ever watched the program MasterChef? Yes. Do you like it? It's good. I like MasterChef, but I like the Australian version. Have you watched the Australian version one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one, it's really good because there's this camaraderie amongst the contestants. You know, they're there, even though they're in a contestants and they're all vying for this one prize. But in the Australian one, they are always cheering each other on. And when they have to go for a series of cooks, and the worst three of the cooks have to end up competing against each other. And when the three of them are competing against each other, the rest of the team are up in the gallery. And all you can hear them is going, go on, Yvonne, you can do this. You can do it, Yvonne. You can do this. And then they might say, Raymond, do something with the ingredients you got. And they are there cheering them on. And this is good because even though they're in competition against each other, there's still that oneness that they can be. And I've seen this in this church. I've seen that camaraderie. As an administrator, I've had to put a few WhatsApp groups together. So therefore, I'm on the WhatsApp groups. And I've seen it, especially on the women's. When a request has been put, as soon as a prayer request has been put up, what do we do, ladies? We're in there, aren't we? We're praying. Kataza will put something up, and we're there praying. We don't know who the people who she's asked us to pray for, but does that matter?
No.
It doesn't matter. But yet we're on there. We're cheering for that person. We're praying. And before we know, sometimes, the latest one that we had with Kataza, it was, what, less than 24 hours? wasn't it? And there was just this turnaround, this man that needed to get out of the country. And we prayed and we said, Lord, release him. Let him be hidden. And he got out and his family got out. And that is because we came together as one. And we can do that, can't we? We can come together and we can have that same togetherness. When somebody goes through something in this church, we can be there when they're hurting, can't we? We can also be there in the good times. So it doesn't always have to be a bad times thing, but also in the good times, we can just celebrate each other. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9 in the Passion Translation says, we are co-workers with God, and you are God's cultivated garden, the house he is building. So God sees this as a garden, and we know what you do with gardens. You water them, don't you? You respect the flowers. You want to see the flowers to grow, to flourish. And that's what we want to see in this church. All the lineup that we saw here, we want to see those cultures. We want to see those individuals, and we want to see that cultured. And finally, we want to look at how oneness in Christ can allow us to be humble servants in the body of Christ. Romans 12, 3-8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of us. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. We're in a church, we've got so many talents in this church, different people doing different things, but yet we can all be one in Christ. So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So you may not know it, but you belong to me and I belong to you. And that locking in and that we saw, that's the togetherness that we have. We have different gifts according to the grace that God gives us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to give, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We're one body made up of various members. And so therefore, we can say thank you to Pastor Rick, who comes each week and he brings us the word. He brings us the word to edify us so that when we leave, we have something that we can leave with. And we say thank you to the catering team for the hospitality that they show, the way they serve us and like how they're going to do after the church today. We say thank you to them. And we can say thank you to the cleaning team, because we can appreciate when we come into a building like this, we can sit on clean chairs. When we go to the toilets are clean. And so that's all the members, different people in your giftings working together. And we can say thank you. And the list can go on and on. So I hope that you got the picture today of what it's like to be as one, what a healthy church could look like if we exhibited all these various individuals, and how God wants us to take this oneness that we have and then go out there and then just have that reconciliation with others in Jesus' name. God bless you. I'm asking you to stand. Can I ask you to stand, please? We want to sing this song. We want to end with a song, and it talks about one way. It's a Hillsong song, but it talks about one way. But before we play the song, Yvonne's ready to dance. Before we play the song, let's close our eyes. I just want to give somebody the opportunity, and I want to extend that opportunity to anybody here who may not know Christ, may not be part of a family of believers, and they may say, I want to be part of something. I want to be a part of a family that when I come in, I can feel inclusive and I don't feel isolated and I don't walk back out. And so if that's you, I want to give you the opportunity to give your heart to the Lord. And I'm going to ask you to put your hand up if that's you, and that we can pray for you and that we can invite you to come forward. This is something that we like to do. We don't want to We just don't want to let anyone go out of the door that needed to give their lives to the Lord. So there's no one. So we say thank you. So let's go out singing this song. And please don't forget, don't go out the doors. Embrace with someone over a pastry, over a slice of Madeira cake, over a coffee or a something. But let's have this unity. Let's remain and let's have this kindness that we have to each other. Okay? Let's sing the song. Turn it up, please.
You're the only one I need. I turn to you and you are always there. Troubled times you do I seek. I put you first, that's all I need. I humble you, all I have all to you.
One way.
One way. You're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus. You're the only one that I could live for. You're always, always there. Every how and every way. The grace abounds so deeply within. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. Live by faith and not by sight for you.
We're living for him.
Living all for you.
Come on now.
You are the way, the truth and the light. Live by faith and not by sight for you. We're living all for you. You are the way, the truth and the light. Live by faith.
We're living for him.
Living all for you.
Thank you, Lord.
You are the way, the truth, and the life. Live by faith and not by sight for you. Living all for you.
One way.
One way. Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for.
One way.
Jesus, you're the only one that I can live for. One way.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, you're the only one that I can live for. One way. Jesus, you're the only one that I can live for.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. Enjoy the rest of your day. Talk to 9 people. Not hug, talk. Talk to 9 people. God bless you.